So it's Mother's Day. There's a lot of things happening in the life of the church. Amen. God is good. I want to call Jasmine up to the front. Jasmine Rodriguez. She didn't know. We like to do things on the fly like this. And I want to call Adriana Garcia up as well. Come on up. You're the next contestant on Surprise, You're Preaching Today. I'm kidding. Listen, these two beautiful young women celebrated an amazing milestone in their lives this past week. Jasmine graduated with her master's degree in social work, and she has a PPS, and she tells her she had a lot of different credentials, but we're really proud of you, Jasmine. And actually, she did it in 1 year. I mean, like, talk about getting it done, right? So we're really proud of you. Awesome achievement. She graduated from Azusa Pacific on Saturday. So really, really awesome. So she's back home. We're excited. We miss her dearly. We're glad. And, that you know, we always, as a family, you always worry about folks driving, right? The drive. And I can only imagine my brother and Rose. But she's home. And she did it. And God is good, right? God gets the glory. And then this other young lady over here, right? She graduated as well with her degree in liberal arts, right? Awesome. So, listen, it takes a big commitment, right, to get that done. Just to set in your mind to say, I'm going to get this, either go back or keep going. But either way, right? I mean, I don't know about you guys. I don't know if I can go back. Like, I'm just saying, like, man. So, we're really excited for what God is doing in your life. Right, and what he's going to continue to do through you, right? And I said, it's always good that we celebrate them. We celebrate what God is doing through them, amen? So at this time, I'm going to ask the families to come up. So families, come on up. And I always say, listen, we're still small enough of a church. If you want to join us, come on down. It's okay, right? We can still do this old school way. I want you guys to put some hands on them, encourage them, support them, love them. Because they're still, right, it's an important milestone. But we still have more work to do, right? But we're praying that God continues to use them in their respective areas of work and ministry, and that God will bless and multiply his kingdom through their work. Amen? All right. And it's okay if you don't feel peer pressure that you have to come out. You don't. Raise a hand out. God sees your hand. God will be with us as we're praying together. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we come before you in the name of your Son, Jesus, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for the beautiful morning. Thank you for allowing us to be here, to pray, to be with our family, Lord God. And we just are so happy and thankful, number one, for the accomplishments that these two young women have achieved, Lord God. You are so awesome and good. Thank you again for the gifts, the talents, and abilities that you have put in each one of them. Father God, I'm just going to pray for Jasmine, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for your goodness, for your grace, for your protection over her. And Lord, for the work ethic that you put in her, Lord God, to just get it done, Lord. Get her master's degree in a year. What an accomplishment. And Lord, I just pray you continue to be with her, Lord God, as she pursues this next phase of her career, whatever that looks like, Lord. Would you just draw her to the right place, the right opportunity, Lord God, where you can use her talents, gifts, and abilities for your kingdom. That we live in a broken world, Lord God. Kids that need to be encouraged, Lord God. They need to know more about who you are, Lord Jesus. And will you allow Jasmine to stand in the gap, Lord God, for you, Lord God, in this broken world. And I just pray again that you show favor upon her. That you allow her, Lord God, again, to advance your kingdom through her hands, Lord, and through her feet. And Lord, we also are so thankful for what you're doing in Adriana's life, Lord God. What a blessing she is to our church. To the kids that she works with, Lord God, that you've given in her, Lord God, a heart that loves kids, that she's always been part of either RSP or SDC, Lord God, and she just has this amazing way with these children, Lord God. But I pray that you continue to be with her, Lord God, in the next phase, Lord God. I pray that you give her the opportunity, Lord God, to showcase again the gift, talents, and abilities that you put in her, Lord God. That you can have her cause an amazing impact in the lives of the children that she wants to serve. And thank you again for your goodness, Lord God. Will you continue to be with both of them? Continue to bless them, protect them, Lord God. Rebuke the attacks of the enemy over their family, over their home, Lord God. I pray that no weapon formed against them will ever prosper, Lord God. Because they're serving you not only here in this church, Lord God, but they're serving you in the communities, Lord God. They're serving their families, Lord God. And I pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you continue to, Lord, move them, Lord God, to just make changes and impact for the communities that they're in, Lord God. But always, Lord God, you get all the honor and you get all the glory, Lord God, for what we do and for what they do. Thank you again, Lord. Bless them, watch over them, guide them. And we look forward, Lord God, for the positive report in the days to come of what you're going to continue to do in their lives, Lord. Continue to watch over them, guide them, and lead them. Lord, we love you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 Praise God. All right. Congratulations again. It's okay to cry. Awesome. 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 Thank you guys. Again, I didn't tell anybody, but I said, you know what? It's worth celebrating, right? We're still a small church, but we can kind of do that. So really, really good stuff going on. Welcome again to Christ Community Church. At this time, I'm going to dismiss the kids. So if you guys want to go see Stephen over there, we're going to dismiss the children. Before we do that, let's pray over the kids. Father God, we come before you again in the name of your son, Jesus. Lord, would you bless the children's ministry and their class, Lord God? Will you bless Stephen and Jenny, Lord God, as they step forward, Lord, to teach the kids and to plant that seed, Lord God, of faith in their hearts, Lord, of your goodness and of your grace and your mercy. Watch over them, keep them, Lord God. And thank you for the gift, Lord, of having children in our church. Lord, we love you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right. Praise God. Man, already a full morning, huh? Again, I want to thank everybody I always say the church is, I love it because people just show up to serve. People just make things. People show up. People volunteer. You know, so I was ear hustling a little bit and talking. Somebody was talking to Stephanie. He's like, hey, if you ever need help, I can help. And Stephanie's like, yes, you're signed up. We need help, right? But it really is a blessing. And again, I think for us, you guys know our hearts, right? We just want to serve people. We want to be the hands and the feet and create opportunities where God can use our gifts, talents, and abilities for his kingdom. Amen? All right. Well, happy Mother's Day. I bet you guys all noticed that there's an iron up here. I know. And I would just, it's not a raffle. That's true. This is our iron from home. Whenever I'm putting together a message, I always have like a little object lesson or something. And I was like, oh, I forgot the iron. So I called Lily and I said, hey, pack the iron for us. But I want to start today's sermon with a little story, right? Because you guys always know Mother's Day, it's an awesome day to celebrate, right? Last year, we covered what? When was it started? 1914, right? You guys remember that? When President Woodrow Wilson signed it into law. I know, see? I'm telling you guys, I know you guys know. You're just being shy. But there's a story that actually was in the newspaper down in Houston. And there was a gentleman that was out trying to find the perfect gift for his wife. And, you know, it's always tough to find the perfect gift because you never know if you're going to get the right size, the right color. If you get it too small, too big, it can be a challenge, you know, I'll just be honest. So he wanted to get his wife the perfect gift for Mother's Day. And he wanted to get her a gift that really showed that he loved her. He wanted her to know that it was something that he had put some thought into. Right? So, but you know, because she was always around the house saying that he never paid attention, that he never listened. And so, does that sound familiar to anybody? You don't listen. You don't pay attention. I don't know. But he wanted her to get something that was actually going to be practical, right? Something that would be useful because he thought to himself, like, you know, she's not really the kind of the gal that she doesn't get all dolled up. She doesn't like a lot of expensive jewelry. So he's like, I'm not going to get her jewelry because, you know, she's not going to use that. Then he thought, like, maybe I should get her flowers. He's like, well, if I get her flowers, they're good for like maybe a week, maybe, and then they die. And on Mother's Day, you guys know that's expensive right now. That's like trying to buy flowers for Valentine's Day. It's expensive, right? Show of hands, how many of you guys like to get flowers? Two of you guys. Three. How many of you guys don't, maybe that's not your thing? See, it's like 50-50, right? And so you don't know, right? So this guy, he was struggling because he's like, man, what am I going to do? He's like, maybe I'll take her to lunch. But you know what? Man, if I didn't make a reservation. It's going to be crowded. We're going to get there on time. We're going to have to wait for an hour. She's going to be hangry. I'm going to be hangry. It's not going to go so well. Does that ever happen to you guys? For Mother's Day, it happens a lot, huh? And everybody's like mad. Like, we should just go home. I know why we came here. That's something there? Yeah, it happens. So he says, you know what? She's been, every time that she's ironing, she's always complaining about like, oh, this iron. And the nonstick is wearing out and I need a new iron. And so he thought to himself, like, that would be a perfect gift for her. A perfect gift for her because she's always wanting, she's always complaining about it. She would love it. It's something that she does all the time. She's going to love it. So he went out and he bought a top of the line, you know, like he didn't go cheap, bought a nice one, right? And he gave it to her. He was all excited, watching her open it up. And then she opened it and she kind of like, you know, when the gift's a miss, right? You're like, she said, well, thank you. You know, she wasn't like a jerk about it. She didn't make a big fuss. She didn't, you know, but I'll just move. She didn't make a big fuss over it. She was a little bit disappointed for sure. But long story short, she just smiled. She thanked him. And, you know, he just was like, I guess maybe like she just can't, I don't know. She's not, I thought it was going to be a better response than that. Then a few weeks went by, right? And then Father's Day came around. And then he noticed that he had a big old gift wrapped up. And he was all excited. He went to go open it. It was a big old box. It was a long box. He's like, he thought maybe it was a gun in there. When he went in, because it's like a shotgun. He opened it and he opened it and pulled it out. It was an ironing board. And she says, you like that iron so much, you can iron your own clothes. And then a week later, the guy was found dead. Death by beating with an iron. No, I'm kidding. That's just a funny story, right? But yeah, you guys remember that Father's Day is like in 4 weeks or so. So you got to make sure you do a good job, right, with the Mother's Day gift. But I know it's a lighthearted kind of story just to open up the message. But look, we're here to celebrate mothers, right? Because what? They sacrifice so much. I mean, if we're honest, I don't know what it's like to carry around a 10-pound baby or an 8-pounder. Or I don't know to deliver one. We don't even have to go there, right? But I know the sacrifice that it costs. You know, I'm seeing my wife do that. See my mom raise us four kids, two boys, two girls. And it's amazing what it means to be a mom, right? Now, nowadays, what does it mean to be a mom? Anybody? What does it mean to be a mom? What are the qualifications? Anybody want to guess? Sacrifice for sure. Love. Spankings. Oh. Dedication. Yeah, it takes patience for sure. But listen, to be a mom, it requires a lot of sacrifice. Number one, of their time, their sleep, their peace of mind. And it also means that you have to be what? A chef? An Uber driver? You have to be what else? A tutor? I don't know. You have to learn Common Core math again. Like math it wasn't simple enough just to do like the math that we know, but you got to relearn math. You have to be a planner. You got to be a protector. Because you can't have anybody messing with your kids, huh? You got to be a homemaker, a provider. Man, it means a lot to be a mom. But it also is an amazing sacrifice. And it truly is a labor of love. And so today, we're going to be looking in our Bibles. And we're going to be looking at the life of one mom in particular. And her name is Hannah. And so we're going to be reading out of the book of 1 Samuel. And some of you guys are pretty familiar with her story, but I always say for Mother's Day, it's always nice to kind of recap. And I'll try to bring again, whenever we go into some of these, where's my laser pointer? I'm at the point. See what a nerd I am? My laser pointer. I'll just show you guys. But we're going to spend some time learning about Hannah and a woman who really made a huge sacrifice, right? What it meant not only to her family, but what it meant to the kingdom of Israel, and ultimately what it means to even us, right? So let's go ahead and open our Bibles to 1 Samuel. And we're going to read, we're going to be here for a minute, because we want to, we're going to read the, you guys know me, I would say there's some power in my words, but there's a lot of power. There's the power to change lives in God's word. So we're going to spend a lot of time in the scriptures today. You guys there? All right. 1 Samuel, verses 1 through 28. It says, there was a certain man from, it's Ramathim, a Zuphite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, a son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Torah, the son of Zup, and an Ephraimite. He had two wives. One was Hannah, and the other one was Peninnah. Now, and I'm probably pronouncing that wrong because my Hebrew is not the best, right? But Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas were the two sons of Eli, were the priests of the Lord. Whenever he came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat for his wife Peninnah and all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Her husband Elkanah would say to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Let's just pause there, guys. Let's say, if your wife is weeping about something with her kids, that's not the right verse right there. I'm just going to, let's just stop and say that. That's what not to say. She says, why are you crying over the kids? Don't you just love me? Am I not just enough for you? What would it, like, okay, wives in the room, what would happen if your husband said that at that moment in time? The iron, huh? That's not the right verse. It's that the Bible teaches you what to do, and sometimes it teaches you what not to do. This is the what not to do. All right. And let's get back in the car. I know. Sometimes I always like to stop and pit stop, but all right. Verse 9. It says, once they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up now. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly, and she saying, Lord Almighty, if you will, only look at your servant's misery and remember me. Do not forget your servant, but give her a son. Then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. As she kept praying to the Lord, Eli observed her. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk, and he said to her, how long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. Not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled, for I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring my soul out to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Eli answered, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked him. She said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went away and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord, and they went back to their home in Ramah. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant, and she gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. Continuing to 21, it says, when her husband Elkanah went up with all his family to offer an annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, after the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always. Do what seems best to you, her husband Elkanah told her. Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word. So the woman stayed at home and nursed and weaned him. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a 3-year-old bull, an Ephah and flour and skin of wine and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When the bull had been sacrificed, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, Pardon me, my lord, as surely as you live, I and the woman who stood here praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord, for his whole life will be given over to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Amen? All right. That's a big piece of steak, right, that we just read. And some of you guys are familiar with this passage. Some of you maybe not so much. But let's take a look. I always say, let's look at the context of where this Bible passage is occurring. So Lily, can you put up on the screen where this is all going down? So you guys always know I like to show maps because I'm a nerd like that. Actually, show the other map, Lily. There's two of them. There it is, right? So whenever you're reading the Bible, it kind of gives you hints about where things are, right? And the first thing you'll notice when we started reading this passage is it says that they lived in the region called Ephraim, right? Now, as you look at all the different names, right, now the name of the map is giving it away, but it tells you that that is where the 12 tribes kind of lived. If you guys remember, Jacob had how many sons? 12 of them, right? And all of them, the land itself, when they crossed over into Canaan, oh, there it is, thank you. I have mine, it's probably over there. So, thank you. So, you guys notice that there's 12 tribes that have been, the sons of Jacob, and they crossed over into the Jordan. You guys remember, some of them decided that they wanted to stay, right? And I'm going to give you guys a hint, the tribe of Reuben and Gad, right? And the other half came over, right, to populate the land, yes? Is that familiar? So whenever you read this, you'll notice, for example, that the regions themselves start to take after the names of the son that was in that region, right? So when we read just this passage right now in 1 Samuel, we read that they lived in the region of Ephraim, right? Where one of the sons lived. And that was his clan. Do you guys make sense? All right. Now he used to travel from another place. Now go to the next slide. He lived here in Ramah, right? And he would travel up to Shiloh every year to do that. Why do you guys think that they would do that? Why do you guys think that was important? Don't worry if you don't know the answer. I'm going to give you the answer. Anybody take a wild guess? Yeah, the offerings. What was at Shiloh? You guys remember? The what? The Ark of the Covenant was there. Awesome. The Ark of the Covenant actually stayed there for 369 years. The Ark of the Covenant was there. You know, and so the tabernacle was actually there. So they would actually go to offer, to do their offerings. And that's where Eli and his sons were currently in charge of the tabernacle. And so that's why that's kind of important. What does it have to do with Mother's Day? I always say, okay, not directly to Mother's Day. I just geek out on the maps, guys. It helps me understand it better when I kind of see what's going on. It's like, well, what's happening up there? Right? So I just like to give you guys always a context, right? So that was the context of the passage. They lived here. He would travel up here to Shiloh annually to give the offerings. And so this is where we pick up in this passage. Now, what we noticed and we read was that Hannah, she didn't have any children, right? In fact, it said that the Lord had made her, until now, her womb was closed, right? And Elkanah had two wives, right? Now, one of the wives had sons and daughters, and she was she nice to her? She wasn't, right? She was like, she would tease her, make fun of her, cause her to cry. Finally, in a quick summary of the passage, you guys kind of read it, she's in misery, crying, pouring her heart out to God. In misery, crying, pouring her heart out to God. And Eli even thinks that she's drunk because she's like, you know, praying to her heart, moving her lips but not talking. She says, I'm not drunk. But she prays that God would give her a child. And she says, if God gives me a child, I'm going to give him back to the Lord. I'm going to dedicate him back, right? So number one, the first thing we learned from today's message is that a mother's love is sacrificial. A mother's love is sacrificial. Now, how do we see that? If you guys remember that, 1 Samuel, right at the very end, in verses 27 to 28, she says, I prayed for this child, the Lord granted me what I asked him, so now I give him to the Lord, right? Now, let me tell you this. if you were Hannah and you had prayed to God for a child, would you give him back to the Lord? Would you give him up to go? Because you don't live in Shiloh. You live where? In Ramah, which is about 30 miles away. Would you take him back and say, God, if you give me a child, I'll give him back to you? Some of you guys are being honest. You guys are saying, I don't know. Because I've been praying for this thing. I've been miserable. But she sacrificed, right? What's really interesting is that God does something awesome later on, and it's in chapter 2. But we know that it takes a sacrifice. A mother's love is a sacrificial love. Because we're honest, if you reflect back in your own life, right? What is it we just said earlier? What does it cost to be a mother? Time, energy, every sleep, right? Sleepless nights, even as they get older, you worry about where they are. But it's a type of love that is sacrificial. You know, when Stephanie and I got married, we haven't always lived here. We lived in the Bay Area for about 10 years, and we got married in 2005. Ethan was born in 2008, and Lily was born in 2010. At that time, Stephanie was working for Santa Clara. She was a pharmacy person. She's like a she was a trainer. She had a lot of stuff going on. And in her career at the time, she was recognized as like, this is somebody that has a lot of talent and potential. And she was actually doing a lot of special projects and stuff. Well, I don't know about you guys, but it's expensive to raise kids in the Valley. It's even more expensive to raise kids in the Bay. Just to tell you guys, right? So we had Ethan, Stephanie went back to work, and then we had Lily. And we had a kind of decision to make. We're like, what are we going to do? You know, we have nobody to watch the kids. It's going to cost us $2,000 a month for each child for childcare. And we're like, $2,000 a month? That's crazy. Like, you're going to go to work full-time just to take care of the kids. She knows we had this conversation. We said, you know what? The time is right. Like, why don't you just stay home? You could take care of the kids. I mean, we could both go to work, but all of everything's going to go back to the babysitter. It would be better if we just had you stay home. And so she did, and she made that sacrifice. And she knows the story I'm going to tell, because I already kind of mentioned it. But when she gave her notice, one of the supervisors was like a director, and she said, "What, you're giving your notice. I heard you're leaving. What's happening?" And she says, "Well, I'm going to stay home. I'm quitting so I can stay home and raise my kids." And her supervisor looked her in her eye and said, "What a waste. What a waste." And I know it cut her. I know the words cut her because I remember still. But in the eyes of the world, right, they said, "You could have done so much. So much opportunity." And she says, "What a waste for you just to stay home and take care of kids." Right? Now, in the eyes of the kingdom and into our family, it meant everything for Stephanie to stay home with our kids. And I tell her this all the time, right? I go to work only so she can do what she does at home with the kids. Because nothing is more important, to be quite honest, right? And so she made an amazing sacrifice for our kids. And here's the thing, right? I'm not trying to... There's always pros and cons to everything. But listen, if you can... do it. We don't get that time back with our kids, right? Now, I understand that not everybody's situation and circumstance is that way, right? And then some folks, I'll be honest with you, and like Stephanie has some family. I'm not going to say it. I better not say it. She looked at me. She's like, "Don't say it." She knew what I was going to say. So, like, because I'm going to get in trouble. There are some gals that don't want to stay home. Does that make sense? They're like, "I just want to go back to work." Like, "These kids are driving me crazy. I'm about to choke them," right? And that's okay too. Okay, I'm not saying not choking them. That's okay, but there's different seasons. Families are different. People are hardwired differently, right? Stephanie was hardwired to be more the nurturer, and I'm more like the disciplinary guy. Although I'm kind of cool too. Like I like hugs, you know. But she's more the nurturer, right? But to me, it was just, I just wanted to share that story. She made an amazing sacrifice for our family and for our kids. And there's a lot of gals in the room that have made that similar sacrifice. Because it costs you a lot. I don't know, right? I don't know if, anyway, I better be quiet. The point number two for today's message. A mother's love is persistent. A mother's love is persistent. Now, where do we find that in the scriptures? We find that in verses 10 and 11. Because it says in verse 10 and 11, let me see, verse 10 says, in her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly, and she made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look at your servant's misery and remember me, not forget your servant, give her a son, then I will give him back to the Lord all the days, right? She was persistent. Year after year after year, she was going out to make an offering, and she was praying, right? Now, a mother's love is persistent. How many of you guys have a persistent mom? Anybody? Oh, man, it's like, you just, like, phone call, text, are you going to do it? Did you do it? It's like, just, yeah, I'm going to do it, so, like, you'll leave me alone. That makes sense? But you know what? We need persistence in our life, don't we? Because that person is usually trying to get us to do something. It's for our own good. It's for our own benefit. So kids in the room, how about we just listen? How about we just do it the first time? Instead of having to be like, oh, she's always nagging me. She wouldn't nag it if we just did it the first time. It wouldn't turn into nagging, right? Amen? All right. A mother's love is persistent. And here's the other thing. You know, man, how many testimonies are in the room because of a mom's persistent prayer for her family and for her children? How many testimonies I hear because we know, right, that, man, every one of us, you know, we all have our different stories. We all have our prodigal moments where we walk away from the Lord, we think we're going to do it all on our own, and there's somebody in the gap standing there praying on their knees to say, please, God, bring this one. Please pull him by his ear back over here. Please, God, whatever you got to do, bring him back. Does that make sense? There's testimonies in this room that mothers and grandmothers and aunts and family that have stood in the gap as spiritual moms that were persistent in prayer for prodigal family members, right? That's my testimony. There's a lot of our testimonies in there, right? So a mother's love is persistent. It moves heaven. What's so awesome is that when she prayed that, right? Remember what it says? This is God remembered her and her prayer, and he answered it. Because a lot of us, like I said, some of us in here, we still have family members that are not right with God, right? And we're praying. So we have to be persistent. Just the way that Hannah was persistent, we got to keep praying. We don't know when God's going to answer that prayer. But some of us, like I said, we have some knucklehead family members. Can we call them that? Is that okay? They're not here. We're not calling them bad names. We're just like, man, they're hard-headed, huh? It's like, man, we want this for you. We want what's good for you. We're not trying to control your life. We just want what's good for you because God is good. Amen? And so, you know, but obviously, listen, I always reflect back and it's like, I don't care what you were saying or doing or inviting me to. When I was at that age in my life, I didn't want to hear it. I'd be like, that's good for you. I'm good. I'm trying. And that's all, it's all deflection, right? If we go back and we really process, and I just can share my own testimony, I was in denial. I had no idea about God's goodness. I thought I was all right in the world. But on the inside, I was dying. On the inside, I had no peace. Right. On the inside, I was heartbroken. And I was so desperate for God that I didn't even know. But that's who I was seeking. So my heart was restless until I found him. But the other thing is that we just have to know, right? We have family members that, man, they have their own go-through. They're going to have their own God appointment. And know that a mother's love is persistent and it is deep. Because some of us in here, at the same time, do we have, maybe sometimes, siblings that kind of like, oh man, I don't know why this happens. Like, anybody have family members like that? where you kind of say, I wish that mom would stop or dad would stop because they come back when they need something. That makes sense? You guys, and then what do we say? We get mad. I don't know. She just, that. Let me just say this. We need to stop, right? Because a mother's love is deep and it's persistent and we'll never be able to understand it. Because for us, it's because they're our sibling and not necessarily sometimes, or they're our family member or they're our cousin. It's not the same thing as a mother's love, right? So we got to give grace, right? Just understand it from a distance and say, okay, we don't want you to enable that behavior or continue that, but you have to give it understanding and not be critical, right? Does that make sense? Because a mother's love is persistent and it is deep. So just wanted to share that. The third point from today's passage is that a mother's love is full of grace and forgiveness. And a mother's love is full of grace and forgiveness. Now we see in verses 6 through 8 that the other wife, Peninnah, is that how I say that? She continued to mock her, right? Because at that time, if you look at the scriptures, the Lord had closed Hannah's womb. And her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. Now what's implied in the passage, right, is that she wasn't fighting back, right? She was even showing grace and mercy to her rival, which is the other wife, right? Thank God that there's no more, that we don't practice this, because, like, number one, my heart is all yours. But can you imagine having two wives? Like, I don't know, I'm going to get myself in trouble. Get the car back in, drive here. But it was full of grace and mercy. See, one brother got me. Thank you, brother. No. No, see, I love my wife. I like that. Exclusively, I think it says there. Yeah. Yeah, no, don't read the rest of it. But a mother's love is full of grace and forgiveness. Isn't it, man, everybody in here, man, how many times have we fallen short and we have let our mom down? How many times? Every single one of us in here, man. I don't care how, you're not perfect. You're not walking on water. You're not Jesus. You have failed your mom, right? And aren't you thankful for her grace and the mercy that she extends upon you? I do thank you that she still, because it doesn't matter. Yeah, she might stay mad for a little bit, but, right, eventually. A mother's love is full of grace and forgiveness. Sometimes in motherhood, right, life brings you criticism, comparison, conflict. But Hannah teaches, right, that we have to respond with grace. That people are going to, you know, things are not, life isn't going to be perfect. You know, I always say, like, for moms, isn't it tough? I always say, think back to when you had your first baby. That resonate for the moms in the room. And what didn't everybody have, like, an opinion or a feedback on how you should raise that baby, how you should feed them, how you should change the diaper, how you should swaddle them, how you should carry them? Does that resonate with anybody? Did it seem like constructive feedback at the time? It seemed like what? Criticism. Now we're going to have we need to have a women's intervention. I'm feeling a lot of, no, because listen, I always say we have to pull the curtain back when that feedback comes, right? It's usually undergirded with love, but it comes off as negative feedback or criticism. And we have to have grace and forgive people. Listen, I think at the same time, right, our kids, or in this case, our spouses, whether you're husband or wife, your family's going to let you down. It's not always intentional, but we're hardwired to be selfish, and we're sinners, so we need a lot of grace and mercy. We get it from God, right? We need to extend it to our circle, our family, our friends, our community. Does that make sense? And that's what we see from Hannah in today's passage. And the fourth point in today's message is that a mother's love is faith-filled. A mother's love is faith-filled. We're going to continue. Actually, we're going to read that because that's going to come out of Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 1, where it says, "Then Hannah prayed and said, 'My heart rejoices in the Lord, and the Lord my horn's life is lifted. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There was no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Do not keep talking so proudly, or let your mouth speak such arrogance. For the Lord is God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. The bows of warriors are broken, but those who stumble are armed with strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for food. But those who are hungry are hungry no more. For she who was barren has borne 7 children, but she has had many sons pine away. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He stumbles and exalts. He raises the poor from the dust, and he lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful servants, but the wicked will be silenced in the place of darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be broken. The Most High will thunder from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed.' Then Elkanah went home to Ramah, but the woman ministered before the Lord under Eli the priest." So this is the prayer that Hannah prayed after she had given up her son to the temple and had left him with Eli, right? Now what's awesome is that she had a lot of faith. How do we know this? Because we just said, I asked you guys earlier, would you give up your only child at that time? Some of you guys said no. But a mother's love is faith-filled, right? Because what ended up happening, if you continue reading, you actually see, right, that Samuel went on to do some amazing work for the Lord, right? And it's a beautiful prayer that she prays, because ultimately, right, what she gave, wasn't it by accident that Samuel went on to do some awesome things? Because what would have happened if she would have changed her mind? Would Samuel would have gone on to accomplish the things that he went on to do for the kingdom? No, right? Samuel went on to become a prophet. He went on to become the last judge in the book of Judges. If you read that, Samuel's noted there, right? And he actually, when the people of Israel call for a king, he's the one who anoints and he selects who? Saul, right? And then one of the last things that he does is he goes out and he goes to somebody's house by the name of Jesse, right? And he anoints the next king that's going to be who? David. So Samuel was using a powerful way for the kingdom, but all of that didn't happen by chance. It happened because his mother was full of faith. His mother was full of faith. And so listen, oftentimes, you know, our life, it's interconnected, right? Sometimes we don't see what God is doing. And sometimes we don't know what God wants to do through the life of our children, but through the life of our grandchildren. But would it be awesome if God was using it and said, "Listen, you're going to play a big part in this, but you have to be faithful to the things that I'm giving to you," right? And so that's what Hannah did. She showed that she was full of faith. And what was awesome to me is that then God, right, didn't just say, "You have the one." If you go on and you keep reading, you're going to see, right, in verses 18 through 20, if we keep going down on verse 2, it says, "But Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod, and each year his mother made him a little robe." Isn't that cute? Because he was like a 3-year-old. Imagine leaving your 3-year-old with something. I don't know if I would do it. That would be hard. Anyway, each year, the mother made him a little robe and took it to him when she went with her husband to offer the annual sacrifice. And Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife, saying, "May the Lord give you children by this woman to take the place of the one she prayed for and gave to the Lord." Then they would go home And the Lord was gracious to Hannah, and she gave birth to 3 more sons and 2 daughters. And meanwhile, Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. Amen. So what happened is that she gave, right? And then God saw. And then what happened? She ended up having 6 kids. Man, praise God. I wanted to have 6 kids. My wife's like, nope. Okay, 4 is good, right? But I wanted 6. A basketball team and a sub. That would have been awesome. But 4 is what God given. Listen, right? Hannah went from having no kids to having 6 kids. And what we take away from her is that we just see that God can do some amazing things if we're faithful and sacrificial, and we allow the grace and mercy that He gives us to pour out, right? Here's the deal. Let me just close by saying a couple things, right? Because there's some folks in the room, right? You've been blessed with an amazing mom, man, praise God. And if you've been blessed, here's the thing. Our moms are human too. We can't set them up to these crazy standards and all these other things. And so sometimes, right, we also know that we have to give grace. We don't know what they went through. We don't know their go through. Oftentimes we just know that maybe that relationship wasn't the best. Right? It wasn't the best maybe. But God is faithful. God is good. God loves you, right? Your go-through is your go-through. He gives you enough to sustain you. Even through the broken relationship, this is why we need God. Does that make sense? And why sometimes we also need therapy. And that's okay too. I say that jokingly, but it's the truth. You need to talk to somebody about these things. You can't just like your whole life things happen to you. Yes. But God is good, right? And there's people to talk to about these things, people in the church and outside of the church. God is good. So if that's you, hey, give it to God. You don't need to carry that burden anymore. You weren't intended to carry it. God is intended to carry that burden. The other one is that whenever you go through, maybe you had a blessed and an awesome, and this is the part, right? The other part. Is oftentimes we go through relationships and there's things that maybe your mom isn't here anymore. And maybe, man, she was the best. She was everything. She was your whole world. And praise God that you had an amazing mom while you had her. Right? Praise God for that. Or maybe she's not here and there's things that you wish you would have said. Say them anyway, right? That's the other thing too, is like we're not meant to carry this burden with us. So if you have that hurt and that pain, man, praise God and rejoice that you had an amazing mom. If you did, if that's your case, that's not taken away from, it is natural to feel that emotion. So feel it. But God, it also is not meant to be something where you walk around in this dark cloud. Does that make sense? When we think about that, we celebrate their life for all that God did, right? Through them to impact you, to leave you a legacy of faith. So listen. All I'm trying to say is that God meets us wherever we are. Wherever you are in the story of your life, whether you had an amazing mom, where you had a mom that maybe wasn't there, where you had a mom that was hard on you, where you had maybe she did the best that she could, or maybe your mom's not here, or maybe there's things that you wish you could have said, God will meet you at every one of those needs. We have to go to Him. That makes sense? Let's pray. Father God, thank you again for your goodness, Lord God. Thank you for your grace and your mercy, Lord. Thank you for the testimony that you left us through Hannah, Lord God, a testimony of faith and of love, Lord, a testimony of sacrifice, of grace and of mercy. Father God, I'm just so thankful, Lord God. Right now, I'm going to pray for all the mothers, Lord God. I pray right now, Lord, that you would have your hand over their lives, Lord, that you, Lord God, you know the sacrifices they make. You know how deep they love. Lord, and we know that, Lord, you are an amazing God. Thank you for the gift of children. Lord God, Father God, right now I pray that you would just be with all the moms that are here, all the grandmothers, Lord God, all the ladies that are actually, and the women that are actually filling in as spiritual moms as well, Lord. That you call us to be into community with each other, Lord. It takes a community to raise up kids.
But Father God, will you just be with all the mothers, Lord God? Thank you for their sacrifice. Thank you for the gift that they are to our families and to our church. Lord God, will you bless their lives, Lord? Pray that you give them peace, that you give them joy, Lord, that you give them understanding in all that they do. Because they're doing your work, Lord God, in the place that is the most important. Because nothing that we do, nothing that we chase after in this world is going to go with us, Lord God. It's only lives and souls that matter. So thank you for the love of the women in this room that are pouring out into their children, to their grandchildren, to their nieces and to their nephews, and to even kids they're not even theirs, Lord God, but they show up. Thank you, Lord God, for your goodness and what you're doing in the lives of the mothers in this room. Bless them, protect them, keep them, Lord God. I pray that they have you, Lord. Before anything else, Lord God, I pray that for a legacy of faith, Lord, that as we always talk about Proverbs 22:6, Lord, it starts in the home. By praying, by watching over, by teaching, by raising the next generation of people that are going to move the kingdom forward, Lord. So thank you again, Lord, for the mothers in our room. Father God, for those of us in the room that maybe, like I said, maybe we had a struggle. Maybe there's still strain there. Father God, will you just help us to surrender those pains, those hurts at the cross. Help us, Lord God, to just know that you are God and you're merciful and you're good, Lord, and you're the God that you give us the strength, Lord. Your word tells us we can do all things through you. You, Lord Jesus, through the strength that you give us, Lord. And so sometimes words are hard to say, but Lord God, you give us the words by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord God. If we need reconciliation, help us to reconcile. Help us to forgive. But God, if we feel like we've been bad sons and daughters, Lord God, help us to just turn away from our selfishness, Lord God, our pride, our unforgiveness, or whatever, our hurts and pains, and just really just give them to you, Lord Jesus. You came to make us whole. And that we would have a blessed life, Lord God. Not that just to know you is enough, Lord God, but I know that you are in the business of mending broken hearts and relationships. So that's my prayer again this morning as well. And for those of us that maybe our mother's gone home to heaven, Lord, we're rejoicing and we're thankful that this life is just a precursor of things to come. It's just the beginning. It's a short glimpse of what eternity is, Lord God. So, Lord, I just pray for everybody that's in the room as well, Lord, that maybe mourning on this day, but they can also reflect on the goodness of the legacy of faith that they've received from their mom, and they can continue to pay it forward to their own kids, Lord God, and to their own family. Thank you again for your goodness, for your kindness, and for your mercy, Lord. Watch over us, Lord, guide us. Continue to keep us, Lord Jesus, as we gather with our families, Lord. Bless us, protect us on this week. And Father God, I pray, number one, Lord, that we would just have a heart that wants to serve you, to know you more deeply, Lord God. To know you deeply and to serve you in all that we do, Lord. Thank you again for giving us this opportunity and this day. Lord, we love you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.